So I said, what else kind of music could we play in a Baptist church that would sound more like freedom than just hard rock, right? And so I've picked that music out especially for that because it just needed to get us going. But you guys, man, y'all are excited today. So thank you for coming ready to hear and ready to worship and ready to be a part of what God has for us today. We have been, this week we began a journey officially that began months ago and really years ago, kind of in my heart and in the heart of some of our leaders here and some of our people, and certainly in the vision that God had for URA Community Church. And so Thursday night, we kicked off our Celebrate Recovery program, and that's a 12-step program you'll hear more about. But Celebrate Recovery is about helping people who have hurts and hang-ups and habits be able to overcome them biblically through what God has already given us and to help us with that. And so we had, I kind of lost the number. We kind of went back and forth, but somewhere between like 15 and 20. Did anybody have the exact number? I think there, it was in there somewhere. But anyway, this was really our second. We did a soft launch the week before, and we had 14 at it. And so we had more this time. But the thing is that we've already given away 6 blue chips. Now, what you need to understand about a blue chip is, yeah, that's, you get excited, because here's why that, why you should be excited. A blue chip means that somebody said, you know what? I surrender. I surrender to God. Whatever it is, my hurt, my habit, my hang-up, I give it to Him, and I just want Him to do whatever it is that He wants to do with me and with it. And so just so you know, because I felt like if I'm going to ask people to do something, then I better be willing to do it myself, which, this was not the first time I surrendered, okay? But this is, as far as our Celebrate Recovery, I accepted a blue chip because I wanted to just say, God, I got hurts and habits and hang-ups. And we all do. We all struggle with different things. And God, I just want you to take me and use me however you want to use me. And I want you to use whatever it is that I'm hurt by or hung up by or the habit I have to take it and not only bring me out of it, but then to use it to help somebody else out of theirs. And so we have begun a process of just being able to allow people to experience the true freedom from the things that are holding them back. And so today, I just want us to get into what this means. I want us to start looking at what it is to be free, truly, according to what God says. Not what we think is freedom, because what we think is freedom is like not having bills. Not, I'll take that freedom anytime, right? I mean, I like that freedom, but that's not necessarily the freedom that God has for me. The freedom... it's about being free from being held back and from all the things that have just beat us up and kept us from being all that God wants us to be. And so it's not about the things that we typically think of. It's about what God says. And so we're going to begin this process of going through this series, and it is going to build on itself. And so it's going to be one of those that you're going to want to be part of. If you're not here, definitely you'll want to catch it online and get caught up on it. But let's get busy on what it means to be free, to be on the road to recovery. Recently, there was a dad. He was hanging out on a Saturday afternoon. He was snoozing on the couch, and the little boy came up and said, "Dad, I'm bored." He said, "Okay." And being the tired dad, had worked all day. He was trying to find something to keep him busy without doing it. You know, now most of us today would hand him our phone and say, "Go play a game." But here's what he did. He took a picture he saw on the coffee table a picture of the United States in a magazine. He took that, pulled that page out, ripped it up into about 50 pieces, and said, "Here, son, go put this together." Wow. And he said, "Surely," you know, he's thinking, "Man, this, he won't know where those go. Surely it'll take him forever to get that done. This will buy me plenty of time." Well, then within just a few moments, the young man came right back and said, "Look, Dad, I got it done." He said, "How in the world did you get that together, son? I know you don't know where all your states are and all that. How did you put that together?" He said, "Well, it's easy, Dad. On the other side was a face. And I just put the face together and made it whole, and that gave me the map." Now think about that. Isn't that kind of how we are? I mean, the thing of it is that Freedom is about God taking all the pieces of us and putting them together and allowing it to be what it is that He created it to be in the beginning. And so this freedom, this road to recovery, is about overcoming the hurts in your life. It's about overcoming the hang-ups that you have that are keeping you from being all that God wants you to be. And it's about taking the habits that have become hurtful and damaging to you and the people around you. Because let me just, this one thing I said in our group, and I won't ever share what we say in our group unless I say it. But one of the things I said to our small group the other night after Celebrate Recovery is, listen, what you do, you may think it's innocent and it only bothers you, but I can tell you somehow, some way, it affects everybody around you. And so our habits not only damage us, but they damage the people around us. And so this road to recovery is about being delivered by God, the one that created us and made us and has such a great plan for us that we need to be on it. In Isaiah, God says this. He said, I have seen what they do, but I will heal them anyway. I will lead them and comfort them, helping them to mourn and confess their sins. God says, I'll heal you anyway. I know who you are. I know what you do. I know where you're at, but I'll heal them anyway because that's who He is. It's what He wants for us. And it's the promise that God gives us, and it kind of lays out five pieces of recovery. It's the fact that God says, I want to heal you. That if you're confused, hey, I want to lead you. If you've felt helpless to change anything, hey, I want to help you change whatever needs to be changed. If you felt like no one understands your problem, right? I don't know about you, but this, my girls love to tell me, Dad, you just don't understand. Right? I mean, am I like the only one, the only dad in here don't understand? Because my girls tell me that, you just don't understand, Dad. From the 9-year-old, I don't understand 9-year-old problems, and I don't understand 15-year-old problems. Well, let me just tell them, they don't understand 50-year-old problems. That's what I'm trying to get them to see, right? But anyway, that's a whole other thing. So, but God says, if you felt like no one else understands your problem, I want to comfort you and let you know that I do. He says, if you've felt anxious and worried, I want to offer you peace. The fact is, listen, newsflash, life is tough, right? It's tough. It doesn't go like we want it to go, all peaches and cream all the time, right? Life has its ups and downs. Life's tough, and we live in an imperfect world, and we're going to be hurt by other people. We're going to hurt ourselves, and we're going to hurt other people. It works that way. The Bible says this, that all have sinned. So if the Bible says that all have sinned, does that exclude anybody in this room? Right? So see, you thought you were all by yourself. But let me just tell you that we've all sinned. We all fall short. We've all been hurt. We're all gonna hurt. It's part of who we are if we allow ourselves to just stay the way that we find ourselves, that we've all fallen short. None of us are perfect. We've all blown it. We've all made mistakes. This series today, listen, let me just tell you, it's for everybody. If you've already said, you know what, man, I can't wait till this is over because this ain't about me, I can tell you that it is about you. Because if it's not specifically to you where you are, it'll be about somebody who's within arm's distance of you. In the sense that it affects everybody. And so this series is going to be about how do we not live a perfect life, because that ain't going to happen. But how do we live out this life the way that God wants it to, even though despite the hurts and despite the habits and despite the hang-ups, how do we get through it? Maybe you're saying, you know what, I don't need recovery. Let me just kind of give you a little different picture on it. What do you need to recover from? It's not about, you know, do you need it or not? It's like, what do you need to recover from? Because there is a list of things that just kind of goes on and on. I put some of them on your program that are there. That you can kind of go through, whether it's emotional or financial or relational or spiritual or sexual or whatever it may be, there's something that you and I have been hurt by and struggle with, at least in the sense of having to deal with it because somebody close to us has a problem with it. We need to recover from it because it's affected us and it's changed the course of what God would want for our lives. Now, if somebody's going to leave and say, you know what, that church down there, man, they think everybody's messed up. If your church or that other church doesn't think everybody's messed up, they ain't opened their Bible. I hadn't read about but one that was perfect in there, and he's the one that gave his life for the rest of us that are messed up. And so, what do you need to recover from? This isn't for you to raise your hand and shout out loud, okay? Because I know y'all like to do that sometimes. But you need to think about that question. You seriously need to deal with that question. Just you and God. You don't have to involve me. I mean, if you want to, that's fine, but you don't need me. Between you and God, what is it? What is that hurt that happened a long time ago that has affected you the whole way through? Whether it's that your dad didn't want you, you know, didn't want to spend time with you, whether it was your mom, who I don't know what it may be that could have created that, but I can guarantee you that there are hurts and habits and hang-ups that we have because of things that we've been through in life. And the longer we allow them to continue to shape us in a negative way, the farther we get from the course that God wants us to be on. And so I think it's time. It's time to deal with it. It's a process. Let me just tell you that you're not going to make a decision today and you're going to walk out of here completely changed. I'd love to tell you that that's going to happen. But I can tell you that most of us have been going through things long enough that it's just going to take a while to heal and to allow him to take these steps through to get us to a place where we can truly experience it. And so it's step by step that we have to go in order to experience it. And so what we've done is, you know, the principles for recovery are found right in the scriptures. You know, we've made it out to be something somewhat difficult, but the scriptures really lay it out. And in 1935, there were some guys who went together and formulated this 12-step program that really walks you through it. And what's happened is it's based on scripture, but it's gotten somewhat away from that in some ways, because it's allowed people to just make God up to be whatever God is, you know, whatever they want him to be or it to be, and just create sometimes some crazy stuff. But the truth is that God gives us the steps. And so what we are doing through Celebrate Recovery is taking the biblical steps and allowing people to experience freedom from the one who gives freedom because of his love for us. And so today I want us to begin with step one and what that looks like to actually recover. And so we're going to take the next 8 weeks. That sounds like a long time, doesn't it? But let me just tell you, some of us have been dealing with those things for 8 years plus. So we can take 8 weeks of our life to walk through to be a better place from where God wants us to be. And so we're just going to break down the word recovery. We're going to use it and just allow it to walk us through these steps. And so we're going to begin with the R. And the R is for the word realize. If you want to fill that in on your outline, you can. R is for realize. Realize that I'm not God. Now, I know for some of us in the room, that's going to be kind of a shock, that you are not God. You know, there is one, but you're not him. You know, that's going to come kind of shockingly. You know, there was a time in my life where, I'm just going to be straight up. I thought I was it. I thought it began with me and ended with me. And, you know, sometimes y'all think that anyway in here, but that's not true. I don't think that anymore. I get it. I know that I can't do this on my own. He is God, and I'm not, and you're not. And so we need to realize that we're not God and admit that I am powerless to control my tendencies to do wrong things, and my life is unmanageable. Okay, I'm going to let you raise your hand on this one. Anybody just feel like life is unmanageable at times? I mean, good. I was just wondering if I was the only one in here, because sometimes it gets so out of control that things just don't make sense and it's just crazy. And we're trying to manage it together, but it doesn't happen. I mean, think about this. Do you ever stay up late when you know you need sleep? Last night, I'm just telling you. You know, I needed to be in bed, wasn't there. I watched the football game, oversleep. I do that again. But anyway, do you ever eat or drink more calories than your body needs? Uh-oh. Not me. Do you ever feel you ought to exercise, but you don't? I mean, I'm always thinking about where the gym is, you know? Do you ever know the right thing to do, but you don't do it? Uh-oh. Do you ever know something's wrong, but you do it anyway? Have you ever known you shouldn't be unselfish, but you're selfish anyway? Gracious. That one, you're getting quiet on me, huh? Maybe I'm getting a little closer to home. Have you ever tried to control somebody or something and found it was uncontrollable? Yeah. You ever tried to be controlled? That stinks. If your answer is yes to any of these questions, welcome to the human race. Welcome to what life brings us and where most of us find ourselves living on a day-to-day basis. We're all in need of recovery. We're all in need of something. The Bible calls the tendency that we have there our sin nature, and we're all born with it. The moment sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, through that moment that they fail, the tendency has been there to always go against what God wanted for us. It's always been the tendency to do something different. We do things that aren't good for us. We do them even when they're self-destructive, and we don't do things that we know are good for us. I respond to the wrong way when I'm hurt, and it increases the hurt rather than lessening it, right? When something happens, instead of handling it the right way, we totally handle it the wrong way. When I know it's not going to work out, many times, you know, we become defensive, and we exacerbate things by just trying to fix them when they're not fixable by us. The Bible says in Proverbs that there's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. See, we think we know how to do it, but we really don't. And we're going to have this sin nature, the desire to do the wrong thing. We're going to be seeking out things that don't belong in our lives because we think they're going to fix whatever we have. Even after you become a Christian, let me just tell you that there is still the tendency to want to do that. We struggle with it. Paul said this in Romans 7. He says, I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, right? I think if I ask any of you, you want to do what's right. I think that's the nature for all of us. But I can't. I do what I don't want to do. I do what I hate. I know perfectly well what I'm doing is wrong, but I can't help myself. It is sin inside of me that is stronger than I am that makes me do these evil things. Sounded a little bit familiar to anybody in the room? Yeah, I mean, just think about your trip to the grocery store, right? They tell you if you just go down the outside walls, you know, that if you'll just do that, you're good. But guess what they did? I don't know about you, but they flipped my store around. And now, man, you got to go find the good stuff. It's like it's the all the ketchup and dressings and all of this on this wall, and it's all the ice cream on that wall. Now, I'm good with that, right? I like those walls. But we know those walls ain't good for me. And so we know what we're supposed to do. We want to do the right thing, but it's so hard to do it. Our nature, our tendency is to always go the opposite way. And the first step to recovery is that we got to understand what the cause of the problem is. Why does that happen in our lives? We've got to understand the cause of it, the consequences from it, and then the cure for it. So that's where we're going to spend our time today, is just digging into this. So the cause of the problem is this. I want to be God. Right? You want to be God. You and I have this desire that we want to take over. We want to decide what's right and what's wrong. Because if we decide what's right and wrong, then we don't have to ever worry about, you know, we can do whatever we want. We don't have to worry about the consequences of being wrong. And so the cause of the problem is I want to be God. I want to control things. The more insecure you are, the more you're driven to control. You hear me? The more insecure you are, the more you're going to be driven to control whoever or whatever it is that you find yourself in. It's amazing to watch it happen. Because sometimes I have to sit back and I have to watch those things unfold in front of me, right? Because of situations I get in. And I have to watch somebody who's so focused on somebody else or something else when they really got to, man, if I could just get them to take a moment and turn back in and just begin to see themselves and where they are and focus on them, then the rest of it sometimes opens up and God can do amazing things through it. Man's oldest problem is to want to be God. Adam and Eve struggled with it. You're not alone if you struggle with it. Let me just tell you, we all want to do it. They try to control paradise. God said, listen, you can go and do whatever you want. Just don't do this one thing. Don't mess with this one tree, right? And what did they do? They went and messed with the tree. And Satan had a little help in there. And he helps us too. But like we said last week, listen, we got to be honest about many times it's just us that causes this to happen. We allow him to have that foothold. We want to be in control. How do we play God? By denying our humanity and trying to control everything for selfish reasons. We may say it's not selfish, but why else would we want to control it? We want to control it so that it meets our needs and it makes us feel the way we want to feel. It just all boils down to it. We want to live life the way we want it to be, and we want everybody else to be supporting roles in it. It just works that way. Even when we're seeking God many times, we still turn those things in so that it becomes a control factor rather than a servant factor. We want to be at the center of the universe. That is who we are. Control is the real issue, and we want to be able to control it all. So how do we play God? First, we try to control our image. We try to make our image be something that people want to believe it is. We want to control what other people think about us, and we want to control how other people react to us. We play games. We wear masks. We pretend. We fake it. And we want people to see certain sides of us, yet we hide other sides. I've told you before that, listen, I'm not perfect at it, but I'm pretty good at recognizing masks. Pretty good at it. Why am I pretty good at it? Because I consider myself somewhat of an expert in it. Because I've worn so many myself. Right? It's hard to fool the fooler. And so sometimes when y'all think you got me going, can I just tell you that I just know. And it's not because I'm judging you. It's not because I'm trying to harm you or hurt you or don't like you. It's just sometimes that's just how it goes. I've been there, done that. I understand many times why we do it. We want to control this image because if we can control it, then we can move on. We can continue on without having to deal with what we're struggling with. Man, wearing a mask and being fake was just my way of not having to deal with what I was struggling with. It just let me continue on, and the longer I could fool everybody around me, the longer it was before I had to really face up to who I really was. The longer I could just continue on doing whatever I wanted. The whole time hurting people around me and all that, because guess what? Sometimes when we wear masks, we put masks on the hurt around us. And we keep people, we pretend like that's really not happening, even though it is. We try to control our image. Why are we so afraid to tell people who we are? If I really tell you who I am, you won't like it. You won't like me. You won't hang out with me. You won't be my friend. Some people tell me that I won't let them come to the church. Really? Man, you should come hang out with me a little while. You know, if they let me in the door, we're all good. Because we all fall short. We all mess up. So we try to hide and control our image. The second way we play God is we try to control other people. Parents try to control kids. Kids try to control parents. Wives try to control husbands. Husbands try to control wives. Just people try to control people. It happens that way. Office politics, right? Anybody live in a housing community that's got a, you know, the HOA? Yeah, just, I mean, they try to control what each other puts in their yard. You know? It's like crazy. We try to control other people. You ever have those people in your neighborhood who just, man, they are all into the HOA? It's because they like that control. We can try to control our church. Man, Pastor, let me tell you what we should do. Pastor, we need to do this. Pastor, you know my old church, we used to do that. I bet they still do that. Anyway, sorry. Try to control each other. We use a lot of tools to manipulate each other and make each other do what it is that we want. We use guilt, fear, praise. Yeah, praise. Listen, sometimes it's like praise in one hand and a knife in the other. You got to be careful. Some of us use the silent treatment. Some of us use anger, rage. If we can hurt them enough, we can control them enough. How do we play God? We control our image, control other people. We control our problems, right? I got it. I can handle this. You know, that's my number one. Like, I can handle it. I got it. I'm strong enough. I'm man enough. I can make this happen. I don't need anybody else. That's why, you know why, we were talking about this at Celebrate Recovery. It's like two-thirds women, right? And a third men. Why is that? Because men, we got it. We are under control. I can handle this. I know when to say stop. I know how to do this. I don't need your help. I see your life. How's that working out for you? Just think about it. We control, number four, our pain. You ever thought about how much time you spend running from pain? Trying to avoid it, to deny it, to escape it, to reduce it, to postpone it. Man, we try to do that in so many different ways. Some of us try to postpone our pain by taking pills. Some of us try to postpone our pain by getting drunk. Some of us try to postpone our pain from getting on the internet or by getting on the internet. Some of us postpone our pain by getting in the pantry. I mean, my refrigerator, is like a medicine cabinet, right? It's like full of drugs to me. So when I open it up, you know those chocolate ice cream sandwiches up there? They like crack. And they like call my name. So like, you bring cake into my house and my wife can watch it mold. Weeks. It'll just sit there and it'll petrify. It was up to her. But you bring cake into my house and you let me have to run at it? I don't see why it should see tomorrow. That's just... bring something else tomorrow, right? I mean, we all have different pains. We all have different struggles. And we find ways to control our pain by doing that. We get into relationships. Listen, we bounce from relationship to relationship hoping that the next one will not have the, it will help me overcome the pain of the last one. If I could attribute any issue to the divorce problem that we have in our society, is that people keep thinking that the next one's going to be more painless than the last one. And it's not even the pain from that one that they're running from. It's the pain from something that came way before. I was talking to somebody last week. I said, listen, you got to remember, and I've said this many times, this is my thing. If you don't fix what you're leaving, you'll just take it with you. If you don't fix why the last marriage didn't work, the next one isn't going to work either. Most of the time, it's just never going to, because you haven't dealt with what the real issue is. That's where you and I find ourselves all the time. We've got things that we've got to recover from, and if we don't, we're just going to keep spiraling down till sooner or later. We may not hit the rock bottom that we see some people crash and hit, but let me just tell you that rock bottom sometimes is just never fully experiencing all God had for you. And if we love Jesus as much as we say we do, that should be the hardest bottom of all. So how do we control this pain? Pain comes when we realize in our quiet moments we're not God and we can't control everything, and that's scary to us. Remember old Chevy Chase? Some of you that are old enough in here, Chevy Chase would be on Saturday Night Live and he would come on and he'd say, "Hi, I'm Chevy Chase," and you're not. Remember that? I don't know if that, maybe I just remember. But anyway, he would say, "Hey, I'm Chevy Chase," and you're not. I just can see God some days. Like, excuse me, I'm God and you're not. When I try to pull some of my mess and I can just see him wanting to straighten me out over it. But that's what the cause is that we try to be God. Well, what's the consequences of it? The consequences are this. There are four problems that come. The first one is fear. The first consequence of the problem of trying to be God is fear. When I try to control everything, I get afraid. Genesis 3:10, Adam said, "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." He was afraid of God, but then where he had walked with him every day in the garden prior to, sin enters the picture, and all of a sudden, he doesn't want anything to do with God. Think about that in your life. You know, I talked about last week how when things go wrong in our lives, the first thing we do is we get away from church. We get away from God and his people, and we run from him, rather than when the storm comes, getting under the umbrella and staying dry and protected. We jump out from underneath of it and think we're going to stay, you know, perfectly dry. And we just get swamped. We fear because we know we can't control it. We don't want to let anybody get close. We don't let anything happen because we don't want them to see the image, you know, the true image that's underneath. So the consequence of wanting to be God is first that we experience fear. The second one is this, it's frustration. Frustration. It's frustrating trying to be the manager of the universe, isn't it? You're trying to make everything work right. You're trying to make work go right. Trying to make your spouse happy. You're trying to make the kids happy. You're trying to make the in-laws happy. Maybe. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing. I'm just joking. My wife's going to throw something at me. You're trying to make, you know, everybody happy around you. I mean, come on, maybe it's just me again. But we try to do this and we try to make it happen, but we're trying to get it. It's like the game, you know, Chuck E. Cheese. You go there and they got the little mole game where you whack them. You know, one pops up, you whack it, and the next one pops up and you whack it, and you're trying to whack all the little moles as they pop up, and you finally have to get mad and throw the thing. That's how life is, right? As soon as you get, you know, you get the wife happy and the kids are mad. You solve that one. I mean, I know you want to do that, but you don't do that. But you get that one happy and this one happy, and then the boss isn't happy. You get him happy, and now the wife's not happy. Now the kid's not happy. Now the school's not happy. Now it's just, and you're just chasing it around trying to make it right. And you become frustrated because you just can't keep up with it. Trying to be God is difficult because it's impossible for us. We can walk around pretending like we're God, like we're powerful and all that stuff, but listen, it's frustrating. If you try to continue to play it, you will be frustrated. Paul realized that in verse 21 of Romans 7. It says, "It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Something else deep within me is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me slave to sin." Think about the power of that word. Like you can't even say that word out in society anymore because it brings this connotation about it. But yet that's what we become in sin by trying to play God. Paul says, I can't do it. I can't. Something inside of me is at war and it wins the fight and makes me slave to the sin. David understood it in Psalm 32. He said, my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. Does anybody in here feel that frustration? I mean, do you feel it when you're trying to make it all work and it just won't work? You just can't make everybody happy and you're trying to make it work through, you know, all the means that you have, through making money, through, you know, through sex, through you know, whatever it may be, that you're just trying to work it out and it just ain't happening. You feel frustrated. If you're frustrated today, let me tell you, it's a symptom of a deeper problem. And you need to deal with that. You're not God, and you're not going to control everything. It just doesn't work. You're just going to get more and more frustrated. The third thing is this, fatigue. It's tiring playing God. Now, I've always been really honest about it, that if I, this is one of those things for me. Like I try to control everything, try to make it all happen, try to be everywhere I can be and try to do all this. And I had to apologize to somebody, you know, just this week about, hey, our friendship isn't what our friendship used to be. It's because there's not enough of me to go around. And that makes me feel bad. I feel guilty when that happens because I want there to be enough of me to make sure everybody gets a little bit. But in reality, that just can't work. Fatigue sets in. David said this in Psalm 32. He said, my strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. Trying to control things and trying to carry these things with us, man, if you keep doing it, it's going to sap you. Man, you are going to be, you're going to be this wet noodle just walking around through life. Some of you are there now. You know it. You just hadn't told anybody yet. Most people try to hide their pain and run from it and keep them busy because we think, you know what, if I slow down, I have to think about it. You know, I don't like the sounds that go through my mind when my mind plays the day back to me at night. You know what I'm talking about? When you lay down, you begin to, you know, replay everything and you just can't get that peace about it. Pick up more work. Pick up that hobby that kind of keeps you going. You get involved in different kinds of activities. Guess what? Some of you get involved in church because you're trying to hide from the pain and the problems that you're dealing with. I get it. If you're in a constant state of fatigue, always worn out, maybe you need to ask yourself, what pain are you running from? What are you trying to hide from? What is it that you don't want to face up to? Begin to work through. The fourth thing is this, failure. The consequence of playing God is failure. When you try to play God, that's one job description that none of us can fulfill. He is God. None of us in this room can create anything. Not without something that he's already created. You can try to bring that argument, but I can continue to bring it back. You can't create something out of something, you know, out of nothing. Because nothing is nothing. It just don't work. Proverbs 28:13 says, you will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up. Then God will show mercy to you. See, from the very start, this church has always been a place that I wanted to be a place where you can come and be whoever you are. if you walk in this room, if you met me at the door, this is true. I mean, this has happened. If you met me at the door and you said, hey, just want you to know I'm a homosexual. Okay, good. I'm a heterosexual, but come on in and let's hang out. Okay, good. But I don't care what you brought in here with you. That's not my problem. It's not anybody else's problem in here. That's you and God to work out who you are based on who He created you to be, and for Him to show you what He has for you. Now, I mean, that's a whole nother sermon and a whole nother message, but let me just tell you that today, if you came in with a hurt or a hang-up or a habit, I don't care what it is. There is only one answer for it. And He came and He died on a cross for it. And so today the healing is found through understanding that Jesus loved you enough where you are to give His life on a cross, to pay the price for your sin, to die there, to be taken off, buried, and on the third day raised again for every one of us to be able to experience forgiveness for whatever it is that we have in our lives called sin, that thing that separates us from Him. So I don't care if you came to the door and you said, you know what, Ron, I'm a heroin addict. And really, you know what, I need a fix. Well, good, I got a fix for you in here. His name is Jesus. It's the only fix I'm going to give you, but you can come on in because it's free and you can have all you want. Ron, I came in here and Ron, I just want you to know I'm divorced. Okay. I'm married and I should be divorced. Because my wife. Let me explain. My wife should have left me. She should have left me years ago. Don't amen that. She could have. How's that? She could have. Right? So, I mean, we just got to come to this place and realize that we all just got junk. And we all got to face it at the same place. It's at the foot of the cross. The cross might have been up on a Mount Calvary, but guess what? On the mount, where that cross is, it's level for us. Because we all have to bring our stuff to the same place and let it, give it to Him. He'll forgive it. He says He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. We can lay our sins at His feet. He'll forgive us and set us free from the penalty of it. Because He was buried and resurrected, now we know that it's not just for today, it's forever. It's for eternity. You can come and play games and wear masks. We all need recovery. Today I wanted you to hear some stories of recovery, and we're kind of running short on time. I'm not going to bring them to you today, but I'm going to share them online with you, and you guys can go in there and read those. But can I just tell you that there are two people that we met named Mary and Dave, that Mary and Dave are just two people that are just like you and me, that just have stories of healing, but they have stories of hurt and hang-ups and habits that took them away from what God had for them, but it took Him moving in their life to bring them back to a place of healing. Whenever we hear stories about how God changes somebody, how do we respond? Many times we say, you know what? I'm glad I'm not like them. Right? And we hear about people who are drug addicts. We say, man, I'm so glad I'm not them. I'm glad my sin isn't that bad. Guess what? Whatever it is for you is just as bad. Anything that keeps us from being what God wants us to be is just as bad. The second way we often look at it is, you know what? That's really bad stuff, but I can handle my own. I can deal with what I got. I can handle my own problems. I can take care of it. We often find ourselves in there. So we have a cause that we want to be God. We have consequences of that are very hurtful. And then we have a cure.
And the cure is the first step. Is we have to admit that we're powerless. The Bible says admitting our weakness is where we find strength. So there's some places that we have to admit. First is we have to admit that we're powerless to change our past. No matter what you do, no matter how much money you have, if I could do backflips off the stage, I couldn't do enough backflips. Y'all are wondering if I could, aren't you? But I could never do enough to change my past. My past is what my past is. Your past is what your past is. You can't change that today. It's a part of your story now. It's written. Right? There's nothing you can do. And you got to admit that, hey, I don't have, there's nothing I can do to change it. So I can't try to wear a mask today. I can't try to be a good enough person. I can't pretend to be good enough at church. I can't give enough to church. I can't work hard enough. I can't whatever to change it. Admit that you're powerless to change your past. The second is this. Admit that you're powerless to control other people. Just admit that you're powerless to do it. You can't make somebody else who they are meant to be. You can't do it. You can manipulate them. You can do all the mess. You can whatever. You can try to make it happen that you can't control other people. You're powerless to do it. You don't know what the hell, you don't know what they're made for. And all you're doing by trying to is hurting them more. You're hurting them and you and everybody else around you. Stop it. Admit that you're powerless to control other people. And the third thing is this. Admit that I'm powerless to cope with my harmful habits, behaviors, and actions. Admit that you're powerless to cope with your harmful habits, behaviors, and actions. Wait a minute, Ron. If I admit that I'm powerless to cope with them, how in the world are they ever going to get better? If you admit that you're powerless, guess what? You get you out of the way and quit messing them up. You and I get out of the way, and then the one who truly is powerful enough to do it can come in and then begin to heal them. You can't do what God can do. You can't do what only He can do. You can't change anybody else, and you can't even change yourself without the power of God moving in you to create in you the new image and the new creation that He makes you. Today, the road to recovery goes straight through the fact that you got to realize that you're just not God. You and I are not Him. We're not able to do what He can do. So today, I want to invite you to just make a commitment. I want to invite you to make a commitment to quit worrying about anybody else. Today is not about fixing somebody else. Today is about fixing you. And me. It's me. I got to take care of me. Well, I would love to fix, you know, wave my hand over, yield, whoa, you're all better. Guess what? Can't do it. But today you can admit that you're powerless to do it, and you can invite God in to be the one who truly is powerful enough to change it all. Are you willing to do that? Listen, that's not a chump step. Getting out of the way and let the creator of the universe in? I'd move over and let Superman in, right? If I let Superman in, how in the world would I not let God in? He created the sun to give Superman. No, I'm just kidding. You know Superman ain't real. Y'all thought I was really serious about that. But I am serious about the God who made you and me. He took not mud, not any of that mess, but He took His image and He created you and me and made us with a very specific purpose. Every single one of us has a purpose. You don't have my purpose, and I don't have yours. And until you and I decide to live out the purpose He has for us, guess what? Something's missing. You can't put the face back together without the piece. It's got the nose on it. Can't put it back together without the piece that's got the ear to it. You and I are those pieces for his plan. And if we don't begin to let ourselves be healed and restored from the things that he wants us to be healed and restored from, we're never going to be able to let that happen. Today, maybe you need recovery. Maybe you just never come to a place to really say that's what it is. I think some of us have known it for a long time. We've just been afraid to admit it. So today, I'm just going to ask you, is it time to admit it? You don't have to do it publicly. Maybe today it's just, you just need to write it on your connection card. Those come straight to me. If you don't want anybody else to see it, you can write on there, I don't want anybody to see it. And they won't. And all I'm going to do with it is pray for you. I'm not even going to approach you. You want to approach me? That's fine. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to get on my knees, on my face before God, that he'll move in your life the way that he has in mind in so many ways, and that you'll be healed, that you'll follow, that you'll admit you're not him, and that you invite him into your life. So what is it you need to do today? Maybe today you need to first just admit that he's God and accept him as your Savior and let him truly heal you and forgive you of your sin. Second, maybe you just need to admit that there's something there that you just can't let go of and you need him to be the powerful one in it. Maybe today you just need to come and just say, you know what? I'm okay for now, but I really do have somebody in my life that needs me on my face, praying for them and asking God to intervene in a way that only he can. When the band comes and plays, listen, this is open for you to come. Nobody's going to wonder why you're here. Nobody should be wondering what's wrong with them. If you see somebody come up here, you should, and if you don't come yourself, you should be praying for them. But let this today be a place of freedom. People experience him. God, thank you today for your love. And God, I just thank you so much for the things that you've brought me through and brought me out of. And God, I know I'm not anything special. God, I'm just another man, just like anybody else in here. God, you had a plan for, and I had to come to a place of just admitting that I couldn't do it myself. I still remember that feeling.